What's on my heart, a couple weeks ago, I started with, I talked about praying and praying the word and by word and spirit. And so I felt like that was where I was supposed to go back to and kind of wrap up some things. So you'll go there with me tonight? All right. So just to do a quick introduction or review would probably be a better word. So we talked about praying word and spirit. And I'd lean real heavy on the word side, real heavy, because the word of God is our foundation. Amen. And so we started out with Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified, and it says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time." So God has them arranged some things for us ahead of time. He thought about it. There's a lot of pre in this verse. He's thought about it way ahead of time. He didn't put us here and went, "Oh, I need to give him a plan." He thought about it long before we were even on, not even the worlds were framed. He thought about what his plan was for us. So he has a plan that he had preordained, taken paths, which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. So he wants us to walk in these plans. He didn't just preordain them for them to just be there and obsolete. He wanted us to fulfill them and walk in them. That we should walk in them, living the good life. Anybody living the good life around here? Amen. And that more abundantly. Jesus came to give us the good life. So it says here that we should walk in them, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready. So it's ready. God's plan for us is ready. Made ready for us to live. So one way we talked about the last time that we can find out what his plan is through the word of God. And then I'm just going to do, a really quick review. We talked about his will and his word are one. In 1 John 5:14-16, I'm trying to get my good Robert Conover on right now. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Well, where do we find his will? We look in the word of God. His will and his word are one. He doesn't say one thing in the word of God and then talk to you and say it's opposite of that. Or say something contrary or anything that doesn't even go with his word. Everything is the same. It goes together. And then we looked at John 15:7-8. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye will ask or pray whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. By this my Father is glorified. So God is glorified when his word abides in us, and then we ask, and it said it should be done for it. By this your Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And then we said faith comes by comes from the word, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. We looked at when we prayed his word or his will, we make tremendous power available. And James 5:16. And the Amplified, the last part of that verse says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. Any righteous folk in here? So when you pray, you make tremendous power available in the spirit. Amen? And so when we're making power available, it doesn't necessarily mean that when we make that power available, that people are going to respond correctly to it. God has us pray so that power is available. Without that power being available, they're only subject to the devil. And they're only subject to what their mind, will, and emotions, unrenewed, can do, or their flesh. So when we pray the word of God and we make tremendous power available, we're making available so they have another choice, at least a good choice. Because we can't even trust our mind if it's not renewed with the word of God. We cannot trust our flesh. We've been learning the last few weeks, amen? And we know we can't trust the devil. So we give, when we pray, we make tremendous power available, giving people an option. But when we do that, it's not to force anybody to do anything. Because God doesn't force us to do anything. He made provision for us. He gave us promises. He told us what it is in his word, what he made available to us. But he's not forcing it on us. So if he's not forcing it on us, we can't force it on anybody. So when we pray, we want to pray according to his word. Not what we desire, not we think ought to happen. We pray his word because that's our sure foundation. Amen? Hallelujah. So we release it to tremendous power, making that available. And, you know, I was starting to think about this afternoon. When we make tremendous power available, sometimes you may not see the fruit of your prayer. But that doesn't mean that God didn't respond to you when you prayed. It may mean that when the person you were praying for or what have you, they didn't respond correctly. You did your part in praying, making tremendous power available. But not always do people respond correctly to that. If their mind is not renewed to the word of God, even though the power is made available, they make a choice that they've been in a pattern in, and they made that pattern, that decision, all their life that way. If they're not renewing their mind by the word of God. Does that make sense? All right. And just an example, I was listening to Brother Keith Moore recently, and he talked about at one time the Lord had him give away a piano. He's a musician himself, and he plays the piano. And so the Lord dealt with him to give his piano away. And he said, "Lord, I don't want to give my piano away." And the type of piano that it was very expensive, and he didn't have the money to purchase another one. And the Lord said, "You don't think that I can get you another piano?" He said, "Yes, Lord, I believe you can give me another piano." So he sold that piano. And so every day after that, he just continually kept thanking the Lord for this piano. And so after about a year, he was somewhere ministering, and this lady came up to him after a service, and she said, "Brother Key, you wouldn't happen to need a piano, would you?" And he said, "Yeah, why do you ask?" She said, "A little over a year ago, the Lord dealt with me to buy you a piano." And she reasoned in her mind, he's blessed and highly favored. He's got money. He don't need no piano. And so she didn't get him the piano. She said, "Okay, so I'm saying this to you right now, that I'm committing that I'm going to get you this piano." So when he got back home, he said, the Lord said to him, "See, I spoke to her over a year ago. It was not my fault that you..." And he said, "I could have dealt with somebody else to give you what you asked for." He said, "But it didn't hurt you to wait." Don't you love that? The word of God is for reproof, correction. And he said, "Beyond that, she needs a miracle in her life. And I was waiting for her to obey me so that she could get the miracle in her life." So he prayed, he thanked God for what he had, but it was dependent on somebody else obeying what God put in their heart to do. Amen? So we can pray and make the power available, but they have to respond correctly or in time. So that's a lesson for us. If you want the blessings of God to come back on every wave and you don't want it delayed, guess what we need to do? Give it on every wave and respond to God quickly. Amen? I got encouraged when I heard that. There were a couple things I had been dragging my feet on that he told me about. I went, "I'm getting busy about this. I'm not going to be a sluggard in that." Hallelujah. So we also looked at Simeon and that we're supposed to be a people of the word and the spirit. Simeon was a just or righteous man, and it said that he was devout. He observed the law, especially, it says, in prayer. And he was led or prompted by the Spirit to go to the temple at the time when Jesus' parents were bringing him to the temple to be circumcised. And his prayers were answered. He got to see the Lord's Christ. The Lord had told him that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. So he was a person of the word. He was a devout. He was a stickler for the word of God. He was prompted and led by the Holy Ghost, and he got the end result of being that kind of person. Amen. And we have the petitions that we ask for, John 5:15. Again, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we ask of him. I was thought about this, you know, Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me always. Why does he hear him always? Because he prays according to the word. He is the word. He couldn't pray any other way. Hallelujah. But he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me always. How do we always get him to hear us? Pray in the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see here. Now we ended up with this. And so this is where we're going to go tonight. And we said, when we pray the word of truth and the spirit of truth takes hold together with us. So we said, what is truth? And John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. And we also see in John 16:13, it says, but he, the spirit of truth, the truth-giving spirit comes. He will guide you into all the truth, the whole truth, the full truth. For he will not speak of his own message and his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give you the message that's been given to him. And he will announce, declare to you the things that are to come and will happen in the future. So we get the word of truth on the inside of us. And as we're praying the word of truth, the spirit of truth connects or hooks up with that truth that we're praying. And it John chapter 15, I believe it is, 15:26, it says, but when the helper, that word helper there means to take hold together or against. So if we're praying the word of truth and the spirit of God, the spirit of truth hooks up with us. If we're praying against something or praying for something in somebody's life or in our own life, what happens? Nature, come here for a second. I know she's writing notes and everything. So stand right there. So we can say this pulpit is the word of God. I'm praying the word of God. And as I'm going along praying the word of God, I can move some things myself. But if I continue to pray the word of God, the spirit of truth is going to take hold together with me. Now, and then together, we're going to, take hold together against whatever we're praying for. Okay. Are you going to help me?
You're not going to help me.
You're my helper, Holy Ghost. You're fired. So we're going to take a hold together against, as I'm praying the word, whatever obstacle, whatever we're praying against, we're going to take hold together against.
Okay, we got it.
And it's easier for the two of us with my helper.
Can we take it back?
Yes, we can take it back. Help me take it back. You can't get good help these days, I'm telling you what. Anyway, the Holy Ghost is a better helper than nature, okay? She's good at a lot of things, but moving a pulpit, maybe not. But anyway, he takes hold together against with us, meaning that he gets in there with us. He hears you pray in the word. He goes, I like that. And he's going to get in there with you and help you against what the pressure or whatever the enemy is bringing against you. He's going to help you against that. Amen? Hallelujah. So we pray the word. The word isn't, we're not doing away with the word, but we're going to talk about the spirit side of things tonight, all right? All right. So Reverend Dana Schrader, in her book, You Can Pray, she said this. This verse is telling us that contextually and chronologically, if we follow the Spirit of God through the truth of God's word, then in the place of prayer, we will be able to follow the Spirit of God as he shows us things to come not written in the word. So as we're praying the word of truth, the spirit of truth hooks up with us. We start praying either in the Holy Ghost or in the spirit. And then he begins to show us things that's not written in the book. He shows us things to come. He's a revealer. He's going to show us things to come. So let's see here. Again, I hammered last time a lot on the word, and that is, and I don't want you to get away from that, because I've run into, in 20 years of ministry, I've run into prayers who say, I just flow. I just like to flow. I want to hear some word while you're flowing too. Amen. Let the word flow out of you. I love when that hookup comes up with the Holy Ghost. I love that. But we got to give him something to hook up with. Amen. Hallelujah. So a few years before Brother Hagin died, people would ask him, what is God doing in these last days? And one of the things he said primarily was that in these last days, God is building strong local churches who preach the word. Tonight we're talking about prayer, but preach the word and know how to flow with the Spirit of God. And so he said with those two elements, preaching the word and flowing with the Spirit of God, he's building strong local churches. Strong local. So you need both elements to have strong local churches. Yes, the word is our foundation, but you also need the Spirit of God, who is the revealer of things, to be in there with you to have strong local churches. And the Lord told Pastor Mark one time, he told him that he would have a strong church. He said, but you your church will be only as strong as the families that are in your church. And so we're doing some things around here to help you be strong in family. We're doing the parenting classes. That's one way that we're helping to raise up a generation from infant to adults to know him and to make him known. Hallelujah, to give you the tools to be strong in your family. Let's go to Ephesians 2:10 one more time. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, taking paths, which he prepared ahead of time, planned beforehand, that we should walk in them. So when we're taking these paths, or we want to find out what these paths are, we can find out some things in the Word of God. There are some things about our life that's written in the Word of God. You must be born again is in the Word of God. Jesus told Nicodemus, he was a high priest, you must be born again. With all your learning all the first five books of the Bible, you must be born again. So we know that's something that the Word of God says that we must have. It also says that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. So that is something we know that's written down in the Word of God that belongs to us. It also says that he became rich or poor so that we could become rich. So all those things are part of redemption are written down in the Word. But there are some things that are not written down clearly for us to know. Who you're supposed to marry. Now the Word of God tells us that if a man finds a good thing, hallelujah. Where's my good thing finder? Hallelujah. And we digress. We go on. I just had a moment there. Y'all just are drawing in a moment with me. Praise the Lord. All right, who to marry? So he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. If he wants favor, he needs to hurry up. All right, so, but he doesn't tell you who to marry. He says that he who finds a wife, it's a good thing for you to find a wife, but he said, but there's specifics about what wife you find. And you can't find that written in the book. So you have to pray and ask the Lord, who am I to marry? Praise the Lord. Where to live? What job do I take? I asked Pastor about this verse, James 4, 13 and 15. Come on, you who say, today, tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead of you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So we don't always know where we're supposed to live, what house, what city, that kind of thing, what job to take, all of that. The Lord will help us with this. It's in his will, and we need to find that out by the Spirit of God. Who's your pastor? Notice I didn't say where you should go to church. It's who your pastor. Jeremiah 3:15 says that I will give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you and nurture you and give you understanding, knowledge and understanding. When I moved down here from Nashville, the Lord started dealing with me about moving here. And I said, Lord, if you're moving me to Huntsville, Alabama, that means my pastor is there. I didn't ask for a job, where I was supposed to live. If I'm supposed to move there, my pastor's there. So I set myself to pray. I got his word on it. Jeremiah 3:15 says that I have a pastor. If you're moving me to this city, my pastor's there. Show me who that is. And so I set myself to pray, and the Lord showed me Pastor Mark's face in prayer. Now, I had other friends that were living here that were pastors that I've known for over 30 years. But he showed me him. And so what did I do? I moved to Huntsville, Alabama, where my pastor was. Not where the church was, not what kind of praise and worship team they had, not what kind of children's ministry they had. Who is my pastor? Selah, pause and think about that. All right. So, let's go to Daniel chapter 2. We got a boogie. Y'all, I was not like this when I was studying. I'm being very honorary tonight. I might need hands laid on me or something. All right, Daniel and the three Hebrew children, Daniel chapter 2, we'll start with verse 1. So they were in captivity, and Daniel and these three guys were royalty in their world, in their where they lived. And so the king sent some of his minions out and said, bring to me some people from the Israelites that I can train to be a part of my court. And so here in Daniel chapter 2, verse 1, let's start. And just hang with me, okay? In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams by which his spirit was troubled and agitated. I'm reading for the Amplified. And his sleep went from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and enchanters or soothsayers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, the diviners, to tell the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. So the diviners to the king in the Syrian language, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream so we can show the interpretation. The king answered the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me, and the decree goes forth from me, and I say it with all emphasis, meaning I mean this. If you do not make known to me the dream, with this interpretation, you shall be cut into pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. All right, we're going to get an interpretation from somewhere. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So show me the dream and the interpretation of it. Then they answered, let the king tell the servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation of it. And the king answered, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time. Because you see the thing gone from me, and because you see that my word against you is sure. If you will not make known to me the dream, there is but one sentence for you. You have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, hoping to delay your execution until the time is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can tell me the interpretation of it. Then the diviners answered before the king, there is not a man on earth who can show you the king this matter, for no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of a magician or enchanter or Chaldean. A rare, weighty thing indeed the king requires. None except the gods can reveal it to the king, and their dwelling is not in human flesh. For this cause, so you tell him, you cannot have what you're asking for. And this is his reply. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree came forth that the wise men be killed, and the officers sought Daniel and his companions to be slain. So Daniel and these three guys weren't even there, but they're getting lumped into the bunch. And then Daniel returned an answer which was full of prudence and wisdom to Arioch, the captain, executioner of the king's guard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so urgent and hasty from the king? Then Arioch explained the matter to Daniel. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would set a date and give him time and would show the king the interpretation. Daniel went. It did not say that God said to Daniel, go talk to the king. Daniel decided, we're going to do something about this. So Daniel set himself to go. Now, the king has issued an edict, right? That everybody that cannot interpret this dream, they're going to die. And he lumped these four guys in there. So he's taking a chance on going in there to the king to talk to him in the first place, which tells me that Daniel knows something about his God. In Daniel 11, it says that they that know their God would do great exploits. So he knows something about this. And so Daniel went in to ask. And so let's see here, verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to those three guys, which is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that these are their Hebrew names, his companions. So he's including them in on this deal. So that they would desire and request mercy of the God of heaven concerning the secret. That Daniel and his companions should not perish with the rest. He said, we are not going down with these guys. And so they're inquiring of the Lord. So God knew what the dream was, but he's not telling. But what they do is set themselves to pray. Does he know all? Does he know all about your life? Is he just freely giving information out? Or do you ask? We have to ask. So he says, so will you not perish with them? And this afternoon I was looking at this scripture came up to me, James chapter 1, verses 5. It says, if you lack wisdom. Now, a lot of people think, well, God's got wisdom. Why don't he just give it to us? He said, if you lack wisdom, I'll just give it to you freely. No? He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like the waves of the sea tossed in by the wind. So he's created the plan. He's done his part. Our part is the asking. So in verse 18 again, so that they would desire and request mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret. And in verse 19, then the secret was revealed to them after they asked. Now God knew what the edict was. He knew their lives were in danger, but still he didn't reveal to them what the answer of the secret was until they asked. So they asked to Daniel in the vision of the night, so in a vision of the night, we would say a dream. We would say this a dream. So get this, he's got an edict on his head of death. He goes to sleep. And while he's asleep, God gives him the answer. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered who? He answered the God of heaven. He answered the vision. Blessed be the God of God, name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the season. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He's a revealer of secrets, not a hider of secrets. So he's not withholding from us. He's protecting and watching over it for us, but we've got to go ask. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Verse 23, I thank you and praise you, and this is Daniel talking to the Lord, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom. He asked, so he got wisdom, and has made known to me now what we desired of you. For you have made known to us the solution. Isn't that awesome? You have made known to us the solution to the king's problem. Now, of course, it was an issue of them going to die, but what was initiated here is not their issue. This is the king, a heathen king at that. But they went on petition to the Lord to ask him on behalf of this king, what was the dream that you showed him? Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show to the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation of his dream. Then the king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, that's his name there, yes, where he was being held captive. After you are able to make known to me the dream, which I have seen, and the interpretation of it, Daniel answered the king, the mysterious secret, which the king has demanded, neither the wise men, enchanters, so he's saying, yo guys did not know this. Enchanters, magicians, nor astrologers can show the king. But there is a God, and he's saying this again, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what it is that shall be in the latter days. Does that sound like future? At the end of days. Your dreams and visions in your head upon your bed are these. And so he begins to tell him. Now the king had a dream and he didn't understand it. And now Daniel's getting ready to tell him what the father said. At verse 29, as for you, O king, as you were lying upon your bed, thoughts came into your mind about what should come to pass hereafter. And he who reveals secrets, again, he's letting him know that this just didn't come of myself. There's someone who's letting me in on this. He who reveals secret is making known to you what shall come to pass. Now, why is he saying this to the king? Because the king got the power. Whatever the king does, whatever edict he decides, whatever decisions he makes affects everybody else under him. So he's giving the king the information that he needs to make right decisions. Verse 30, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than anyone else living. I mean, I am nobody special. A lot of times we want to stick our, you know, collar out that God reveals something to us. We're just a vessel, a hose pipe. So this is what Daniel's telling him. But in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your heart and your mind. So he's telling you, this is why God's telling you all this. God wants things to be made known. He wants things to be revealed. He has a plan that he has predestined. He had beforehand planned for us ahead of time. But he's not hoarding it. Go, y'all just scramble down there. I got the answer. And he's not hoarding it, keeping it from us. He's wanting to show it to us. Now, when like the king has authority, I remember this afternoon, a few years ago, we were still over at the A-frame, and I think it was on a Sunday morning. Pastor Mark, by the Spirit of God, began to say, there's someone in here, you're making a decision regarding your life, and the decision that you're making is going to affect your children in a negative way. Parents have what? Authority. And whatever decisions that they make in their life or lack thereof is going to affect their household and affect their children. If we as parents are not walking in the plan of God and working in the will of God, it's going to affect those that come after us. If we're already off, they have no hope of getting, for the mercy of God to get back on. But he's telling someone who's in charge, get it right. There's an answer for you to be had, but you need to make the right decision so this doesn't affect the generations behind you. Verse 46. Now, in between all that, Daniel tells him what the dream was. Then he tells him the interpretation of it. And then we get to verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid homage to Daniel as a great prophet of the highest God in order that an offering and incense should be offered to him in honor of his God. The king answered Daniel, of a truth, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secret mysteries. Where did he get that from? Because as Daniel continued to talk to him, there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. Seeing that you could not reveal this secret mystery, but you could reveal the secret mystery. Then the king made Daniel great. So when God reveals things to it affects our lives. He made Daniel great and gave him many great gifts. And he made him to rule over the whole province of Babylon. And to the chief governor over all the wise men of Babylon. All of those that couldn't get the dream and interpret the dream, he made Daniel their boss. Gave him the authority. And when we start asking God about secrets, things about our life, things that we need to know, the plan of God for this church, how do we fit in the plan of God of this church, all those kinds of things. This, what happened to Daniel was, and the three Hebrew children, let's look at verse 49. And Daniel requested of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. They were just a part of his court. But he gave them authority after the secrets had been revealed. Now, Daniel knew he couldn't do this alone. So when he went back, he solicited his three friends to help him. This is a picture of corporate prayer. They begin to pray, and give their supply towards what the answer should be. And then in the process of that, when Daniel got promoted, they came up with him. Amen? Hallelujah. So we see that provision came to Daniel. Honor came to him. Authority came to him. All because God revealed to him the secret for the king. Let's go to Jeremiah 33. So there are some things that we can access on our own individually in prayer. Why do we have groups around here? Because there are some things that we need to get to. There are some things that we need to move. And we need help and assistance in doing that. And we can move some things on our own. And even in your own life, you can move some things on your own. But there are some times that you need a hookup with somebody to hold together against whatever's going on in your life. Amen? So, in Jeremiah 33:1, I'm reading for the Amplified. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was shut up in the court of the guard, saying, thus says the Lord God, who made heaven, who made the earth, he who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you. He didn't say, I will give you answers. Just as an open-ended thing. He said, call to me first, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden. Sounds like secrets, doesn't it? Which you do not know and do not distinguish and recognize and have knowledge of or understand. So what we don't know, we can't walk out. So do we want to walk it out? Because in that verse in Ephesians, it says that he has some things for us to walk into, to live out. In order to walk those things and live those things out, we need to know what they are. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak unto men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. The Amplified says, because in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. So bringing from the Old Testament, saying secrets and mysteries, we're praying out things that are not known, essentially is what this is saying. How do we pray those things out? We pray those things out by the Holy Ghost. And you could pray, I don't have time to get into it, you know, what in the spirit is. In the spirit is you being more aware and conscious of the spirit than you are. Your natural is the praying in the spirit is praying the word. And then the Holy Ghost takes that whole together with you. Praying in the spirit is you praying in other tongues, those kinds of things. But when we hook up with the word of God, when we pray with the word of truth, the spirit of truth comes in with us. We begin to, by the spirit of God, reveal things to us that we need to know. Now, just very quickly, Brother Hagin, he pastored for many years. And I think it was the last church he pastored. And so he said that everything was going really well at this pastorate. And he said they were making more money than they had ever made. And the children were fed and clothed. And, you know, they had a nice house and all this stuff. But something was scratching him on the inside. And so he set himself to pray. And he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, you know, everything's going well. But just something's not satisfying me. I'm discontented on the inside. So he began to pray. And the Lord told him, he said, I never called you the pastor in the first place. It didn't mean that he was out of the will of God. It just meant that he was, him pastoring was part of preparation of where God was taking him. Jesus was a carpenter. But that wasn't what he was born to do. But the skills of a carpenter he brought along with him in his journey. That was part of, you remember all the stories that Jesus would tell about nature and different things like that. The walk that he had as a carpenter, before he went into ministry, all that stuff just went with him. It was preparation for what he was getting ready to step into. And so him being a pastor was preparation for what he was going to step into. It wasn't his ultimate calling. So when the Lord said that to him, he took off, all right, I'm not supposed to be a pastor, I'll be an evangelist. Because that's really the only choice they had. And so he went out on the road for a year, flopped. He had to borrow money, his car broke down, I mean everything. So he went back to prayer and realized he didn't ask the Lord what he was supposed to do. He just assumed he was supposed to be an evangelist. So he went back to the Lord and noticed that the Lord didn't stop him. Because he didn't ask. For a year, he let him go out there for a year. And God knew the answer. So he went back. Lord, we're not eating. I had to borrow money and all this. What's up? You didn't ask me. You're not a pastor. You're called to the office of prophet. He assumed it was evangelist because they were in field ministry if they weren't a pastor. So he didn't ask. So when he asked, he got the answer that he needed to step into the next phase of ministry in his life. Amen? In Job 32:8, it says, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives understanding. So if we want understanding from the Lord, hallelujah, we ask, we pray out his mysteries, he gives us direction, we find success just like Daniel and these three Hebrew children did, and we go up in life. We go up as a church when we pray in mysteries for the church. We go up when we pray for our lives. Our children go up with us, amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anything? All right, let's stand up. Glory to God. Whoo, the Robert Conover anointing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight that we want to know those hidden and fenced in secret things, those mysteries that you have for us. Father, you know every person in this room and what's going on in their lives. And so, Father, we say right now, we ask. We're asking of you to show us great and mighty things that are fenced in and hidden, secrets, mysteries that we need to know about our individual lives, about our family, about our church, and even about the world. We submit ourselves to you and your word. We pray your word. Father, we thank you that your word is the stability in our lives. We thank you that the Holy Ghost, that he shows us things to come. He's here to be our helper. Not to just stand by and let us do things wrong, but we ask you, helper, to help us in those things that we do not know in our life. And you are the revealer of truth. You are the revealer of secrets. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.